females and products from the triple beam scales. It was Christ who paid the price by giving his life as a ransom to offer salvation to everyone from Eddie Velez to Charles Manson. The situation that you're facing got you going crazy. We've been making you for a night, but joy comes in the morning, baby.
Get comfy shoes and match your feet. He's the only one who can give you peace. Kick off your shoes and match your feet. Forget about it. Forget about your troubles.
Time.
Radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message, already in progress, by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Dangers I couldn't see. You kept your angels around.
you kept your angels around me. I thank you, Lord, hey, for keeping me alive. Yeah, I am
a living testimony.
I could have been dead.
I could have been dead and gone.
Come on, Mike, help me out.
Listen here. And
I'm still alive.
He woke me up early.
I'm still alive.
Early this morning.
I'm still alive.
He closed me
in. I'm still alive.
In my right mind.
I'm still alive.
That's enough to tell him thank you.
I'm still alive.
Tell him thank you right now.
I'm still alive.
Because God, you've been good to me.
I'm still alive.
You gave me the activities of my
I'm
will.
Still alive.
And I can go on and tell somebody
I'm still alive.
How good you've been to me.
I'm still alive.
And I thank you.
I'm still alive.
And I thank you.
I'm still alive.
Oh. Call and said, Jesus,
I'm still alive. I am a living testimony.
I could have been dead.
I could have been dead and gone.
Lord, you let me live on.
Lord, you let me live on.
I am
a living testimony. I thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
I thank the Lord.
If you got something to be thankful for this morning,
thank you, Lord.
You ought to lift your hand and tell him,
thank you.
You ought to tell him, thank you.
I thank you, Lord.
And I thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Lord.
I could have been dead and gone.
I thank you, Lord.
Sleeping in the cold, cold grave.
I thank you, Lord.
Lord, I do it.
I said, Lord. I'm in trouble.
Lord, do it
for me, Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
When I'm in trouble,
Lord,
do it for me.
Yeah.
When I'm in trouble.
Lord,
do it.
you read your Bible.
Yeah.
I know you read the story about a blind man that could not see. But we heard about Jesus,
yeah, yeah,
passing down the streets. You know what he said? He said, Lord, stop by.
Stop by.
Lord, stop by.
Stop by.
Stop by and lay your hands,
yeah,
on me.
Hey.
I said, Lord.
Chapter 4, there is a word from the Lord. Amen. Thank you, young people. Thank you, Sister Katrina, and all of our youth workers for making sure that our young people remember what Christmas is all about. When I was younger, Kirk Franklin had a song that said, Jesus is the reason for the season. And we need to be constantly reminded of that. Amen. In the book of Malachi, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, there is a word from the Lord. The Lord Almighty says, the day of judgment is coming, burning like a furnace. The arrogant and the wicked will be burned up like straw on that day. They will be consumed like a tree, roots and all. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go free, leaping with joy like calves let out to pasture. On the day when I act, you will tread upon the wicked as if they were dust under your feet, says the Lord Almighty. Remember to obey the instructions of my servant Moses, all the laws and regulations that I gave him on Mount Sinai for all Israel. Look, I am sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. His preaching will turn the hearts of parents to their children and the hearts of children to their parents. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse. Amen. And for just a few moments this morning, I want you to think with me as you should take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Think with me in terms of a subject, more Christ in Christmas. More Christ in Christmas. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. My brothers and sisters, this is the beginning of a very familiar Christmas poem that surfaces year after year for our amusement and to usher us into the spirit of the holiday season. This poem deals with what is supposed to be a typical American family on the night before Christmas. This poem assumes that St. Nicholas, or the one that we know and refer to as Santa Claus, will be visiting the house to deliver presents and to eat cookies and drink hot chocolate or milk while the family is sound asleep. It is a very delightful and entertaining story of the night before Christmas. But what I've discovered, my brothers and sisters, is that this poem fails to mention anything that would give the reader any inkling of the real meaning of Christmas. There is no Christ in this Christmas story. There is no mention of a manger or a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. There is no tale of angels performing a late night concert for shepherds tending to sheep in a pasture. Nor is there any reference to gifts being delivered by wise men from the Far East. There is no virgin in this Christmas story, nor is there a savior to save a dying world. This poem, my brothers and sisters, is an extension of the commercialism that has consumed the Christmas message and has left it meaningless and void of Christ. When most people today think of Christmas, their initial thoughts go to all of the shopping that must be done before its arrival. Starting, y'all know, the day after Thanksgiving, people began to lose their minds, invading the full spectrum of stores from Walmart to Macy's just to find the perfect gifts for family and friends and even coworkers. Children began to fantasize about the latest toy or video game without any cognizance that their wish list must be funded financially. Parents use what is supposed to be a joyous time of year to deal with harassing calls from creditors that they decided to put off until after they've completed their Christmas splurge and received their tax refund. Children become hurt if they don't receive what they want. And parents will do anything to see their child's face light up on Christmas morning. There is no satisfaction like years ago, you know, in receiving nothing but oranges, apples, and nuts in a red stocking. I wish y'all would try that with your children. There's no joy in drinking hot chocolate and watching, when I grew up, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty the Snowman. Nowadays, we want gifts and we want them more abundantly. But my brothers and sisters, on this Sunday before Christmas, I want to invite each of you to take a trip with me back in time. I want to go beyond my childhood when there was still a notion of the true meaning of Christmas and go all the way back before the Christ of Christmas came to be. As we travel back almost 2,000 years, we find that the Roman Empire had amassed vast wealth and territory throughout the civilized world. It was common practice at the time of Jesus for the Romans to conquer territory and make the people subjects and even slaves. The people in the land would be governed by officers appointed by Rome for that purpose, and in rare cases would maintain any semblance of independence. And so that tells us and reminds us that the Jews in the days of Jesus were an oppressed people. They were given very little room for independence and fell under the governorship of Herod the Great. On the night before Christmas, they were a people who had gone 400 years since the prophet Malachi had last given them a word from the Lord. There had been virtually silence from heaven. This people that had been accustomed to prophets like Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah proclaiming the message of the Almighty God. They should have been overwhelmed by the absence of God's presence and the deficiency of a direct word from God. And yet, my brothers and sisters, 400 years after Malachi's final message, the Jews were still hopeful with anticipation that the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel, would come to deliver them from their oppression. They believed what the psalmist wrote. The psalmist who so eloquently wrote in Psalm 2 and 7 that the Messiah would be the Son of God. They believed Moses' Pentateuch writing, as recorded in Genesis 12 and 3, that the Messiah would be a descendant of Abraham, the father of the Jews. Additionally, they believed Jeremiah's prophecy that gave the Messiah royal lineage through King David. They believed the prophecy of Micah, who stated that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. They believed all of Isaiah's messianic prophecies, especially those proclaiming the Messiah as part of the new and everlasting covenant. Isaiah also prophesied that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. He prophesied that later in his life he would be betrayed by a friend, sold for 30 pieces of silver, crucified between two thieves, and buried among the rich. They even believed the prophetic voice of Malachi, as recorded in our text, that for whoever fears the name of the Almighty God, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. In all of their beliefs and all of their hopes of the Messiah coming to relieve them of their imminent oppression, they never left out the name. They never left out the meaning. They never left out the purpose of Christ. In the Spanish language, the word más is translated into English as more. And on the times that I've had to visit Mexico, and especially down in Tijuana, you know, as soon as you cross the border, little kids and women and children will come up to you and be begging for money and pulling on your coat and asking for money. And I had to learn a few Spanish words, amen, so that when I go to Mexico, now I know how to say no más dinero. No más dinero. And all that word means, más means more. And when I say no más dinero, I'm just telling them I ain't got no more money. Yeah. Amen. And so I want you to understand that más in Spanish means more, and Spanish is closely akin to Latin. So that when you hear the word Christmas, it really is saying that more Christ. That's what Christmas means, more Christ. Amen. How many of you know that we need more Christ in Christmas? We need more Christ in Christmas. Amen. We should be adding more Christ in the celebration and not leaving him out. The enemy has used the commercialism of Christmas to distract us from its whole purpose and meaning for us believers. Amen. To celebrate Christmas is to celebrate the rise of the Son of Righteousness. Malachi records that he will rise with healing in his wings. I don't know who you are today, but somebody's got sickness in their body. Somebody has sickness in their bank account. But I've come by to tell you today that whatever your sickness is, if you will avail yourself to the newborn king, if you will put more Christ in Christmas, is there anybody here who knows that he can heal your body? I believe I got two or three witnesses here who had a light bill due, and you didn't know how you were going to pay the light bill, but you found out that not only can God heal your body, he can heal your bank account. Somebody ought to give him praise right through there. How many of you know today that our celebration of Christmas should be a celebration of healing through Christ? We have been healed from all of our sins. From all of our transgression. Now, if you don't have any, that won't mean anything to you. But I hear Paul writing. Paul said that he was the chief among sinners. But, amen, I love Paul. And Paul was very astute and all of that. But I have to say, Paul, I think I got you on that one. You might have been the chiefest among sinners at that time. But is there anybody here who can testify that I've got sin, I've got transgressions, I've got iniquities? But the good news is that God sent his son. God sent Jesus, born in a manger, born to a virgin, amen, to heal us of our sins, sickness. There ought to be a praise right there. We have been restored back to our covenant relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so Malachi further emphasizes that we have been set free. Look at it. He says, as calves that have been let out of a pasture. And for that reason, my brothers and sisters, we should all be leaping for joy. In other words, we should be celebrating
our freedom during the Christmas season. We should be rejoicing that God loved us so much that he sent to us the Prince of Peace. He sent to us a wonderful counselor. On the night before Christmas in the ancient city of Bethlehem, there wasn't much of a celebration going on. There was no freedom because of Roman rule. There was not much for Mary and Joseph to celebrate. They had traveled, the Bible says, many miles just to get to Bethlehem, the city of David, so they could register for the census. But there was no place for them to stay. All of the hotels were full. They had no family on whom they could call on in the city. So they did the only thing they could. They resolved to stay outside of the hotel in the area where the animals were watered and fed. There was no celebration going on because there were no doctors or midwives available. There was no celebration going on because Mary's water had broken and her labor pains had begun to kick in. There was no celebration going on because Joseph knew that his fiancée, his wife by law, was about to give birth to a child that was not his. On the night before Christmas, in the time of Jesus, there was no celebration going on because the shepherds were stuck out on the field with a bunch of dumb sheep and nowhere to go. There was no celebration going on because a group of astrologers from the east had begun to see a strange star, and they realized that they would have to travel a great distance to get to the bottom of its meaning. On the night before Jesus' birth, there was nothing to celebrate. There was hopelessness mixed with the bondage of depression. But on that dreadful night, the night before Christmas, almost 2,000 years ago, my brothers and sisters, God was preparing humanity for a miraculous delivery from a world of despair. And yet almost 2,000 years later, the night before Christmas appears just as hopeless as the night experienced by Mary and Joseph. We have large houses and more hotels, but we don't have Christ. We have cars, buses, trains, and airlines to cut down our travel time, but we don't have Christ. We have hospitals and doctors and midwives to handle all manners of illness and malady, including the birth of a child, but we don't have Christ. Yes, I know that there are churches on every corner. I know there are ministries springing up